of the previous sermon, and the Word was made flesh. This is part two. In my previous sermon, we began to uncover evidence in the Old Testament that it was the Messiah who created heaven and earth under the direction of our Heavenly Father. I prefer to use the word Tanakh instead of the word Old Testament, as those who do tend to undermine the richness of the Torah, the prophets, and the writings, as if it were old and feeble and of no use in the present, quote, new dispensation. Now, let me take some time to talk about this word dispensation. It's exceedingly important to understand. The word has been used by a number of dispensationalists, among whom are John Darby, who lived from 1800 to 1882, who edited the Darby Bible, Cyrus Schofield, who lived from 1843 to 1921, who wrote the Schofield Reference Bible, Louis Chafer, 1871 to 1952, who founded and served as the first president of the Dallas Theological Seminary. Three other theologians served at the Dallas Theological Seminary to perpetuate dispensationalism: Charles Ryrie, John Wolford, and Darrell Bach, all of whom served to deny the validity of the law of Yahweh through the false premise of dispensationalism, that Israel is separate and distinct from the church. Let us examine exactly how Scripture uses the word dispensation, found in four verses in the New Testament, the Brit Chadashah. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 11, we read, "In him," referring to Yahshua, "we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times," that is, when the nations come into Israel, "that he might gather together in one all things in Messiah, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, in him." The English word dispensation is the Greek word oikonomion, which means stewardship or administration, that is, as referring to an employee in the capacity of an overseer, manager. Figuratively, and as far as concerns our assembly, this refers to one who performs the stewardship of an elder, one who dispenses the evangel of the kingdom of Yahweh. That's what dispensation means, one who dispenses the evangel. So what does Yahshua say about this stewardship? In John 17, verses 6 and 9, we read, and this is Yahshua, in John 17, it's Yahshua praying to the Father, "I have manifested your name," which is Yahweh, "to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." They have kept your Torah, that is, your law. Verse 9, "I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours." These are sober words and should give us cause to reflect that Yahshua does not pray for those who are not called. In John 17, continuing on, verse 10, "And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them." Think about that a moment. He is glorified in us. Hallelujah. We are important to Him. Verse 11, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name, or figuratively through your authority, those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. Now, skipping down to verse 16, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. And what is truth? Your word is truth. Your law, your Torah, the prophets, the writings are truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. Verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Do you get the picture that we have been given this privilege to take the word into the world? That's what dispensation is all about. It's not a series of eras in which laws once given by Yahweh are no longer in effect. Everything that Yahweh has given to us is still true. And I ask, how ironic is it that dispensationalism denies Yahweh's perpetual special treasure, Israel, referring to Israel as the dispensation of the law, and then substitutes the church, the Christian church, in its place, claiming it to be the dispensation of grace, denying the law. By doing so, they deny the words of Yahweh and of His Son, Yahshua. For grace, mercy, and long-suffering have been the very fabric of Yahweh's blessings and goodwill since Adam. Yahweh has provided the means by which we may receive His blessings, and this is nothing short of obedience to His law. This is where we find His grace. To be clear, obedience to the law of Yahweh is a blessing. However, it is not salvational. The sacrifice of Yahshua the Messiah, the stripes that He took in our place, and His death, which He suffered in our place, this is our salvation and our eventual redemption, when He returns to gather Israel to the bosom of Yahweh, when He gathers His own, those for whom He paid the price, to His household. Okay, so back to the original question that we're attempting to answer in this sermon, which is, did Yahshua act under the direction of His Father, Yahweh, to create the heavens and the earth? Last time, in order to validate the New Testament's witness that Yahshua created the heavens and the earth, we read, and this is just a partial listing of the scriptures we looked at, in Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, Yahweh, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Okay, here it is. The author of Hebrews is saying that Yahshua is the one who made the worlds. So not just this world, and not just this heaven, but all of the planets and constellations. And by examining the Greek text under the English word God, as in our typical scriptures, in John 1, verses 1 and 2, we witness Yahweh's existence in the beginning. John 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with ton teon, that's the Greek there. And the Word was Theos. He was in the beginning with ton teon. As we look in the PC Study Bible for those words, we see ton teon, but the word there is still the same in English, God, and the word teos is also the word God, but they're two different Greek words. Anytime we have the word the in front of the word in English, God, that's speaking of Yahweh, the Mighty One. Okay, whereas teos doesn't have that article the in front of it, which means a Mighty One. So who is the Mighty One and who is a Mighty One? None other than Yahweh and Yahshua. And so I translate that phrase, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahshua. He was in the beginning with Yahweh. Now, regarding Yahshua's role in the creation, we read in John 1, verse 10, He, Yahshua, was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. Also validating that Yahshua, the only offspring of Yahweh, was the Creator, we read in John 1, beginning at verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And finally, from last time, we read in Colossians 1, 16 through 18, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. Referring to Yahshua. Now, to continue with our discussion on this topic, I have a few more verses from the New Testament. In Revelation 1, 9 through 11, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Yahshua the Messiah, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of Yahweh. He was there. Why? Because he preached the word of Yahweh. He preached the truth and the testimony of Yahshua the Messiah. I was in the Spirit on the day of Yahweh, and by the way, that's not Sunday, that's the day that's a terrible day of destruction when Yahweh decides to take vengeance upon the world. I was in the Spirit on the day of Yahweh, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Aleph and the Tau, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven assemblies which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden menorahs. And in the midst of the seven menorahs, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Verse 16, he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death, the keys of the grave and of death. Verse 19, write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw on my right hand, and the seven golden menorahs. The seven stars are the angels of the seven assemblies, which can also be translated the messengers, or the heads of the seven assemblies, and the seven menorahs which you saw are the seven assemblies. So who is this Son of Man that John saw in his vision, who describes himself as the first and the last, the Alpha, the Aleph, and the Tau? Of course, we believe wholeheartedly that it is Yahshua himself, who was born in the flesh, died, was resurrected, and who now sits at the right hand of Yahweh. Hopefully, you can see that the renewed covenant, the New Testament, identifies Yahshua, as does Yahshua himself, as the creator of all that has been created. So now, let's go to the Tanakh, which is a word made up of three Hebrew words referring to the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. In Exodus 33, looking at 9 through 11. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle. Now, this is important. This is amazing, actually. That the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Word talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped, each man in his tent door. So Yahweh spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to a friend, and he would return to the camp, but his servant Yahshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Okay, so, did you catch that? That the Word spoke with Moses. Now, I can tell you that in most English translations, it does not say Word there, but it is the word wadavir, which the root is dabar, meaning Word. So, who is this Word who spoke to Moses face to face? Well, for me, I am certain that John, Yochanan, knew exactly what he meant when he wrote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Tonteon, was with Yahweh, and the Word was Teos, Yahshua." He was in the beginning with Yahweh. As I translated, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahshua." He was in the beginning with Yahweh. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The Word is Yahshua, the Messiah, who spoke to Moses, and who spoke to the other patriarchs, to the kings, to the prophets, and to the authors of the renewed covenant, the New Testament. And through the Holy Spirit that was given after Yahshua ascended into heaven, who speaks to us today. Hallelujah. Yahshua verifies this in John 1, verse 18. Actually, this is John speaking. No one has seen Yahweh. That's the Greek word teon, at any time. The only begotten, Yahshua, Teos, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And how did Yahshua declare his Father, Yahweh? I believe Yahshua declared and made known his Father's will in every word written in our scriptures, in every word uttered to those who seek Yahweh, and in every word spoken to those whom Yahweh chooses to accomplish his will. Yahweh is the righteous king who sent his son, the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom, who will, through the grace of his Father, establish peace among men with whom he is well pleased. Where else do we see evidence for Yahshua? creating the heavens and the earth. Isaiah 41, beginning at verse 1. Keep silence before me, O coastlands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together for judgment. Who raised up one from the coast, from the east, who in righteousness called him to his feet, who gave the nations before him and made him rule over kings, who gave them as the dust to his sword, as driven stubble to his bow, who pursued them and passed safely by the way that he had not gone with his feet, who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning. I, Yahweh, am the first, and with the last I am He. With whom is Yahweh the last? With whom? I submit for your consideration that this is none other than Yahshua the Messiah. Isaiah 41 at verse 5. The coastlands saw it and feared. What did they see? They saw this tragedy coming. The coastlands saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid. They drew near and came. Everyone helped his neighbor and said to his brother, "Be of good courage." Now, these are all pagans speaking to one each other. So the craftsman encouraged the goldsmith. He who smooths with a hammer inspired him who strikes the anvil, saying, "It is ready for the soldering." Then he fastened it with pegs that it might not totter. In other words, the polytheists, the pagans, heard of the end times and being frightened, made many idols to protect them from destruction. Isaiah 41, verse 8. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, which Paul calls the fullness of the Gentiles, when the house of Judah and the house of Ephraim will be joined as one when Yahshua returns, and called from its farthest regions and said to you, "You are my servant." And who is he speaking to? Israel. "You are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your Elohim. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Who sits at that right hand of Yahweh? Exodus 15, verse 6. Your right hand, O Yahweh, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Yahweh, has dashed the enemy in pieces. Psalm 17, beginning at verse 6. I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O Elohim. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. Psalm 48. According to your name, O Elohim, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Psalm 60, verse 4. You have given a banner to those who fear you, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah. That your beloved, and who's your beloved? Who's Yahweh's beloved? Israel. That your beloved, I may be delivered, or by your beloved, sorry, that your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and hear me. Elohim has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and measure out the valley of Sukkot. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the helmet for my head. Judah is my lawgiver. Notice the reference to the house of Ephraim and the house of Judah, and the helmet or protector and the lawgiver. Both terms are in reference to the two houses being gathered by Yahshua the Messiah. say to that. Hallelujah. Isaiah 41, verses 8 through 10. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your Elohim. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Let me go back to the Brit Kadashah, Matthew 22, beginning at verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Yahshua asked them, saying, what do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he? And they said to him, the son of David. He said to them, well then, how then does David in the Spirit call him Master, saying, Yahweh said to my Master, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. If David then calls him Master, how is he his son? In other words, how can David's Master be his son? Or his son be his Master? And no one was able to answer him a word. Nor from that day on did anyone dare question him anymore. They did not understand. They were not familiar with the word of Yahweh. In those days, for the past 300 years, the Pharisees had been focused on their own laws, their own traditions, and have neglected the understanding that is written in Scripture. And it remains that way today, those who are of Judaism. They teach the Mishnah, the Talmud, and other texts, and do not focus on Scripture. In Psalms 110, verses 1, which is a Psalm of David, Yahweh said to my Master, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Yahweh shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Of course, this is prophecy about Yahshua the Messiah. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. You have the dew of your youth. Yahweh has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, which is made up of two words in Hebrew, Melech, which means king, and Tzadik, which means righteous. So the order of Melchizedek means the righteous king. And going on to verse 5, the Master, that is Yahshua, is at your right hand. He shall did you catch that? The Master is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries. He shall drink of the brook by the wayside. Therefore, he shall lift up the head. In the book of Acts, this is all about demonstrating that that Yahshua sits at the right hand and is the right hand of Yahweh, all to the glory that Yahshua is the one who is the master craftsman who created this universe. In Acts 2:29, we read, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that Yahweh has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would rise up, raise up the Messiah to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Messiah, that his soul was not left in Hades, was not left in the grave, nor did his flesh see corruption. 32. This Yahshua Yahweh has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of Yahweh, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, and neither shall we. But he says of himself, Yahweh said to my master, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. In Isaiah chapter 41, beginning at verse 25, I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come from the rising of the sun. He shall call on my name, and he shall come against princes as though mortar, as the potter treads clay. Who has declared from the beginning, that we may know, and former times, that we may say, he is righteous. Surely there is no one who shows. Surely there is no one who declares. Surely there is no one who hears your words. 27. The first time I said to Zion, look, there they are. And I will give to Jerusalem one who brings good tidings. And what's that? Good news. For I looked, and there was no man. I looked among them, but there was no counselor who, when I asked of them, could answer a word. So who was raised up from the north, who calls upon the name of Yahweh from the rising of the sun and brings good tidings to Zion? We go to Proverbs 8, verse 22. Yahweh possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. Verse 27. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was the sons of men. Verse 32. Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whomever finds me finds life and obtains favor from Yahweh. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. If one were to read the preceding verses to this section, one would realize that the entity being described is called wisdom. But who is wisdom? Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. Wisdom is one who lives within the law of Yahweh, who is the only one who passed this test. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Who describes himself as the light and the life? Well, here are three versions of Proverbs 8, verses 31 and to 30 to 31. I want you to see something important here, okay? In the Amplified version of Scripture, we read Then I was beside him as a master and director of the work. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited earth and delighting in the sons of men. The New King James reads, "Then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was the sons of men." And the King James reads, "Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were the sons of men." When we look for the concordant meaning of master craftsman, we find master craftsman, or one brought up, is the Hebrew word amon, which comes from the root 539, probably in the sense of training or skilled as an architect. And it's used in the King James as one brought up. Now, the root word is the word aman, which is spelled differently, which means to build up or support, to foster as a parent or nurse. Figuratively, to render or be firm or faithful, to trust or believe, to be permanent or quiet, morally, to be true or certain. So I would ask, who would that describe? In Isaiah 30, beginning at verse 20. And though Yahweh, now your Bible might render this as Lord, with a capital L and lowercase O-R-D. But this word was originally Yahweh, but was changed to Adonai by the Masoretes. Okay, verse 20. And though Yahweh gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Whenever you turn to the right hand, or whenever you turn to the left. The word right in this phrase is the same word as master craftsman. So whenever you turn to the master craftsman, you will hear, "This is the way, walk in it." When you turn to the right hand, or whenever you turn to the left. Now, it can't possibly mean that whatever way you go is right. It means that if you're going to the right direction, he's going to say this is the way. But what if you're going in the wrong direction? Is he going to say this is the way, walk in it? No. But doesn't it make sense that Yahshua would whisper to us when we are following his way, or if we turn away from him? And I have heard his voice in both directions. And I say hallelujah that we have someone who, through the Spirit, will tell us which way is right and which way is wrong. In Isaiah 30:21, your ears shall hear a word behind you. Oh, I guess I just read that. Okay. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it," whenever you turn to the master craftsman's hand or whenever you turn to the left. Exodus 13:22, he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Of course, this refers to Israel when they're in the wilderness for 40 years. They had the guidance of Yahshua, as it turns out. In Isaiah 52, begin at verse 12, "For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For Yahweh will go before you, and the Elohim, the Mighty One, of Israel will be your rear guard. Behold, my servant," speaking of Yahshua the Messiah, "shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage, his image, was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations with his blood. Kings shall set their mouths at him, for what had not been told them they shall see, and what they had not heard they shall consider. This, of course, is referring to the chastisement of Yahshua when he took our stripes and sacrificed his life for us. In Ephesians 3, verses 1 to 4, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Messiah Yahshua, for you Gentiles, for you nations, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship, which is the word dispensation in other texts, you've heard of the stewardship of the grace of Yahweh, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of the Messiah. Verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles, that the nations should be fellow heirs of the same body. What body is he talking about? Israel. And partakers of his promise in the Messiah through the good news, the evangel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace of Yahweh given to me by the effective working of his power. Verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles, among the nations, the unsearchable riches of the Messiah, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in Yahweh, who created all things through Yahshua the Messiah. Another evidence for Yahshua being the creator of these worlds through the direction of Yahweh. Ephesians 10, or chapter 3, 10, moving on. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of Yahweh, and who would that be? Yahshua, might be made known by the assembly to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in the Messiah Yahshua, our Master, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Master Yahshua the Messiah, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of the Messiah, which passes knowledge, or in other texts, passeth understanding, that you may be filled with all the fullness of Yahweh. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the assembly by the Messiah Yahshua to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So how is truth discerned? How do we know truth? By direct words written down from Yahweh himself? Yes. Is the word of Yahweh always literal? No. Let me clarify that the word is always literal, but it's also always figurative, it's always spiritual, and it's always personal. Is there truth hidden in the word? Yes. How is this hidden truth found? By reading the word. True. But also spiritually reading the word. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which Yahweh has prepared for those who love him. But Yahweh has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of Yahweh. For what man knows for what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of Yahweh except the Spirit of Yahweh. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from Yahweh. Or we could read that, but the Spirit from Yahweh, or the Spirit of Yahweh, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by Yahweh. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of Yahweh, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, whether I have answered the question challenging me to find literal truth in the Tanakh that Yahshua is indeed the creator of heaven and earth may remain unclear. In fact, I may have created more questions than I answered, but so be it, and so be our privilege, for as it says in Proverbs 25, verse 2, it is the glory of Elohim to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. May we continue to diligently search in spirit and truth, in his spirit and his truth, to find the wisdom of Yahweh in his word as expressed in the person of Messiah Yahshua. Hallelujah.